to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 108 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hi guys, welcome back. Tonight, it's just Jimmy and myself, and I think we have a pretty good show for you. How's it going, Jimmy?
I am fantastic.
Awesome to hear it. How are you guys surviving that weather? I hear most of the country's getting slopped with a lot of stuff this week.
We're doing pretty fine. I think we're getting a little bit of rain, but it's not very cold here.
Now, we've been lucky up here around Philly, too, because it was pretty much the 60s the whole week.
Nice.
So, yeah, I wish we could handle that for as long as it can go, but it will be getting cold soon.
Yeah, not too much longer.
Nope. But anyway, so we're here tonight to discuss Disney, and before we start, I want to reach out to a really good friend of ours, Sophie P. Kravitz. If you're part of our Facebook group, you've seen her posting a lot. And if you've been to some of her earlier meets, she's also been there down at the parks. And when we did our 100th show, we had a lot of really great people send us in recordings telling us about how they've listened to the show and what they think and things like that. And we're really grateful for that. And Sophie actually got one into us that I missed, and I never had a chance to put it out there. And I truly apologize, Sophie. We really appreciate you going through the trouble of recording this for us and sending it to us. And what we're going to do is we're going to play it right now. So here it is.
Hey there, Disney Nerds Podcast. Guess who this is? It's Sophie P. Kravitz. Well, there's never a white rabbit around when you need one, because now I'm late for a very important date. I missed your 100th. Oh my gosh. But hopefully this will get to 102. So I wanted to wish you a happy congratulations, and also keep on recording and we'll keep listening.
Okay, well, thank you, Sophie, and you can be sure we will be recording more shows, definitely. Sorry it took us from show 102 to 108 to get you on, but we finally did, and thank you.
Yeah, Sophie, we really appreciate you. It was so nice meeting you down there in February, this past February when we were there for our meetup at the Polynesian, and I also really appreciate everything you do in the group. It seems like every time we see a new member pop up, you're one of the first ones to greet them and welcome them to the group. So that means a lot to me that you're always out there trying to help out. So we appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much. Okay, now the next thing we want to talk about real quick is something that we've kind of neglected and we're sorry about too. We have fantasy football leagues going for the Disney Nerds Podcast, and they're run through the ESPN site, and we're lucky enough to have two complete leagues. And what I want to do is kind of do a mid-season, a little bit past mid-season update of where we are. So we have the Disney Nerds Podcast, we have a red league, and we have a blue league. I forget the reason why I picked the colors, but I figured we wanted to kind of divide it up. And the red league, we have an East and a West division, and the East division right now is being led by Sam from the show, and his team is the Sam Disney Diary, and he's out there at 7-2, so he's catchable, anybody else in the East. And in the Western division of the Red League, we've got Brett, who's out there with his team Ohana, and he's doing good too. His record's 5-2-2, which is crazy because it's hard as hell to tie somebody. But unfortunately, Brett has. And hopefully that won't come into play toward the end of the season, but we'll see. We'll see. I did see the other two teams, each one with a tie, but he really lucked out with that one. Now, the Blue League, we have the East and the West Division. Now, the West Division is the Marrero Mad Hatters, and that's Jimmy's team. And they're kicking butt. Sorry, guys in the West. It's going to be tough to catch up to Jimmy. He's 9-0. He does not have a loss. And the closest team behind him is 5-4. So unless he goes on a big losing streak, not trying to jinx you there, Jimmy.
Right.
Or you guys don't start winning, it's going to be an end of the season for that. Although we do have playoffs at the end, so it all evens out once we enter the playoffs.
Brand new season.
Definitely is. Now, in the Eastern Division of the Blue League, we have the Pigskin Militia, and that's Bob's team. And he's at 5-4. Now, the East looks great, and that's the division I'm in that league, because they're all 5-4s and 4-5s in there. So there's a chance for us to definitely catch up and take that division. So we'll have to see how it goes. So keep on playing, guys. We're going to get to the playoffs, and then we'll announce who wins each of the leagues at the end of the season.
Sweep.
Awesome.
Going for a sweep.
Saying that after his team's beat me 2 weeks in a row. We're both in the red and the blue league, and his team destroyed me last week and basically destroyed me this week too. It's tough right now, Fantasy League, because you've got the buys we're trying to work through. And it's so tough giving up a player because there's so many injuries and so little good players left in the league that sometimes you just go through a game with a couple bye players, or at least one bye player, and that could kill you.
Who would? I mean, look at Sam winning that division. And I think this is like I think we introduced him to fantasy football last year. This is like his – what happened in a sophomore slump? Isn't he supposed to be doing terrible this year?
We'll call him a double newbie.
All right.
So we're having fun with that. Thanks, everybody, for playing with us. And if you're interested in it, guys, just kind of pay attention for next year. We'll announce it again, and we'll try to get it going. We have thought about baseball, but none of us want to go through the trouble of doing a baseball league anymore. I used to do fantasy baseball all the time. I quite honestly don't have the time to keep track of it anymore.
It's a lot, huh?
It's a day-to-day thing as opposed to being like a once-a-week thing.
Yeah, I mean, here you get here, you know, you get like today – today's Thursday, so I knew Thursday morning I know I got to go in and set my...
Oh, crap.
Yeah, you do that.
I forgot.
Yeah, if you didn't do that, you'd be in trouble. But you're right. I mean, once you're set on Thursday, unless something changes, one of your players gets hurt or something like that, which the ESPN app is pretty good at notifying you if that does happen. I mean, once you're set. Then I just go in on Sundays and really check it. And I really don't even start checking it until... you know, the games start getting into the second halves. The first set of games start getting into the second halves on Sunday.
Right. I try not to check it because it's annoying because it'll be up on the computer all day and you keep going back to it.
Right.
But, you know, you want to see where you're at.
It definitely, if you're interested for next year, I mean, if anybody's listening and thinks they might be interested, let us know, please, because I will tell you, I find it makes football more interesting. It gives you interesting games you probably wouldn't normally be interested in because your players play in there.
Oh, yeah, right. Because if your team's not on, you have the other games going, there's a chance you're going to have a player or two in the other teams.
Sure.
Or the guy you're playing against will, so you get to root against him.
Absolutely. Yep.
Or her.
Yep.
And I would be more than happy to go to three leagues also.
Yeah, we could definitely.
So we can definitely handle more people. We just have to do it in, like, denominations of 12 or 10 or whatever we decide the leagues will be next year.
Yep.
And there's no entry fee. We don't play for that.
No, there's no money or anything. This is all for fun. Nope. Dragon rights.
Okay. Well, the next thing I want to bring up is news about news. Our friend John from Orlando is going to be helping us out and doing some segments as we go down the road. John has the opportunity to get to the parks a little bit more often than us since he's living down there. And we're going to try to get him in there to get us some recordings of the different things going on. I love the sounds from the park shows, and I think that anything John can get us is going to be used on the show. And he's going to try to throw in some personal insights and things that he's seeing down there too. So I'm really looking forward to that.
So yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yep, definitely. So thanks, John, for that. Okay, guys, so we're going to get into the show now. And the show idea we decided to do for tonight, we wanted to talk more about our trip. However, we wanted to do it kind of a little bit more before a fun format in that we're going to do a win, lose, or meh type of show or a middling type of show. But the way we're going to do it is on our trip or based on our trip down to Walt Disney World, we want to come up with something that we thought was a definite winner, something that really stood out. That was something we've seen maybe never before, or else just kind of rose above rose above expectations. The meh part of it, or the middle one, that's going to be something that basically we expected it to be that way. So we did something before. We went down planning to do it again, and everything worked out, and it was exactly as expected.
And I just wanted to interject real quickly. Me and you talked a little bit about this before we started, before the show. You know, as expected, we're talking about Disney World, so it's still a pretty positive thing, because when I go down to Disney World, I'm sure you're the same way, my expectations are pretty high. So if something went as expected, hey, man, that's pretty good.
Oh, definitely. And you usually make a lot of arrangements and do a lot of planning so that you're expecting that it starts at the time you plan to be there for it to start, and that the bus that you decided or the monorail you decided to get you there got you there. And, you know, all the things considering that one event, how it worked out.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then obviously the loss is the critique. It's a little bit of being critical because we paid a couple bucks and went to a park, and maybe something didn't work out quite as it should. Now, of course, we understand that things don't work out sometimes and it just can't be helped. But once in a while, there was definitely something that could have been helped or maybe just thought out a little bit better. And, you know, we'll see what we come up with. Okay, so let's start with a winner. Let's start out with something positive. You want to start, Jimmy?
Sure. One of the things I think was a real big winner to me was, and I pointed it out to you as soon as you got there, is walking out of All-Star Movies and waiting for the bus. There's these screens out there now that tell you how long before you can expect the next bus, or what time you could expect the next bus, which I thought
was great. Oh, yeah, they were excellent.
Yeah.
They were great. Now, I tell you what, the first couple of days seeing it, you know, you look at the time, the bus shows up, it was the time it said. As we went along, though, I noticed the times do change. So if the bus gets hung up at, say, one of the other All-Star resorts on its way to where you're going or whatever happens, the time will adjust. But at least it makes you feel like they know that the bus is coming and that, you know, you're not forgotten and you've just seen 5 Epcot buses and no Hollywood Studios buses and things like that. Definitely worked out well.
And if it's hot out, me and you talked about this while we were there. Say you walk out there and it's warm out or cold out, and you look up there and it's going to be 10 minutes before your bus gets there. Hey, you know what? Maybe I can step inside, go wander around the store inside the hotel for a couple of minutes. Or maybe that lets me know, hey, I do have time to run and use the restroom or run and grab a soft drink before and not miss my bus.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And the time we're there, we were really kind of strict as far as tracking it. And I don't think it was off for more than a minute at any of the times.
Yeah.
So it was trustworthy. We got to the point where we could trust it. So, yeah, good winner. I totally agree with that one. I would have put that one down, too. Now, as far as the winner I had, and it might not be a winner for most people, but to me it was. We were down there for the reopening of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, and they didn't make any major changes to the ride. Okay, that being said, what they did do to it, though, was basically put a new coat of paint on everything, meaning it looked like almost all the characters had new costumes. It looked like a lot of the paint and the scenery was touched up and brightened would be a better way to say it. Yeah. I've never actually had a cannonball go past my head before, into the point where I thought my hat was going to get knocked off. So they've definitely increased the cannon power coming into the town with Barbossa's ship out there in the harbor. I thought that was actually really, really cool. Another thing that was nice is that we now have that mist curtain with Blackbeard, and I think it was Davy Jones was on it too. So you got both the pirates, and it was working. So I guess the win here is that we had a Pirates at its prime, meaning it's in the best shape it's going to be until it does another rehab. So to me, that was a definite win.
I thought it sounded better, and maybe I'm nuts.
That was probably part of it too, sure.
I really feel like it sounded better than it did the last time I went on it.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people say that they don't take care of the rides. Yeah, I disagree right there. Now, as far as a negative, I have kind of a part one as far as a loser thing, which we'll talk about as far as taking care of the rides in a couple minutes. Now, before we had the show tonight, I was talking to my daughter, Hope, and Hope and I went down to Disney actually in July. So we were lucky enough to go down for a couple of days. And we were discussing tonight's show topic, and she threw out, as far as a winner goes, she saw her friend down there, Alex. And I was like, well, don't you want to like say something else, maybe about the hub when we went to the fireworks, or maybe something about the restaurant we went to for the first time? And she's like, well, no, actually, the biggest thing for me this trip and the biggest win for me was seeing my friend Alex. And I thought that was actually a really great topic, because we did the same thing in October. One of the best parts of our trip is actually meeting up with people you know at a place you really love.
Absolutely.
So I thought that was a pretty cool thing. I wanted to mention that.
That's right. That's a good one. One of the things that makes me look forward to my trips now is going and meeting up with all the people we know down there or that live down there, and, you know, getting to spend some time hanging out.
Sure. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Okay, so now let's do the as expected category. Now, again, this is something that we had planned on it. We went and experienced it, and it was just as expected. And I think I'll go first in this one. And to me, it's a big one, but I think it was an important one in that food and wine. I went down there expecting food and wine to be as good as it has been in the past couple years I've gone. And it was. Now, it didn't surpass, because there wasn't really anything this year I thought that really stood out incredibly, like this is amazing they had this year. But it also didn't disappoint at all. The food was, of course, the food is going to be great. The lines were the only thing I would have to put a negative spin on, but you could avoid that by just picking the time you can go.
Yeah.
If you have a couple days to choose from, you have a better angle on it. If you're stuck to the, unfortunately, like a Sunday or a Saturday, or you know, a Saturday or Friday, those are the worst, and unfortunately it will be a little crowded. But minus that, the mixology, we mentioned that last week, was a little bit disappointing, but not enough to put me off at all. That was still okay. And just basically everything, how it was run.
Definitely,
I thought it was pretty cool.
Definitely worth the – I mean, we've talked about this before, and unfortunately last week I got bumped. I had computer issues, so I wasn't on the whole show. But I did listen to it, and, you know, I completely agree with y'all said about mixology. And – we say it was kind of a negative, but that's only basing it upon the one the year before. I still think it was definitely worth the $15 per person admission. It was still something different to do, and I would still do it again.
Oh, sure. And to be honest, I might not make it to the Food and Wine Center if I wasn't going to the mixology.
True.
And there's a lot of cool stuff in there. They had out of chocolate, they had these little scenes in the back where they had like a Avengers scene, and they had something from different Disney characters, all made out of chocolate.
Up one was cool.
So it was pretty cool, things like that. I mentioned last week the movie that we saw, The Making of the Food and Wine.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have seen that if I didn't go in there for mixology. So I might say a little bit of a negative for mixology, but I got so many positives from being in the building that it weighs out.
Yep. I would say as expected, just the general crowds overall. I felt like there were days in October. We go in October because, you know, that's typically not a very, very busy time of year. Obviously,
that's tough to say anymore.
Well, you know, that I was going to say that, you know, but there were times that, you know, when me and Kim were there, that we were just walking on stuff and we were getting fast passes to stuff that at that moment, like go get a fast pass and just go walk directly to the attraction and get on it. I don't think that happens in July.
Right. Oh, no, it doesn't. You're right.
You know what I mean? So I don't think there's truly a slow time anymore when I say that. But, you know, talking about John on this episode and his reports from the park, the week of Labor Day, he was texting me pictures of the park completely empty.
Which you would think. Now, okay, another example was yesterday was Veterans Day. And he was over at Epcot and Magic Kingdom. And he was sending me pictures of how jammed it was. I'll give you an idea, and I got to think this is because of veterans as far as needing the extra parking, but at Epcot, right before you get to the gates to walk into the park or do the searches for the bags, you have that little area of grass that separates the parking lot from the actual entrance. Well, they had cars parking on that, right down to the side of where the monorail is and stuff like that.
Sure.
So there obviously wasn't enough handicap spots, and they basically took advantage of the grass to, you know, create more. But the crowds on Veterans Day, I never would have thought that.
Well, I think it's a culmination of things, okay? So you still got the last week of Food and Wine. So
okay.
Food and Wine just ended.
True, right.
The parks have just transitioned from fall to Christmas. And the Christmas parade recorded earlier this week.
I think that's why he went in. Maybe that was Wednesday.
Yeah. So I think I don't think it's necessarily Veterans Day. I think it's a culmination of things.
True. And, okay.
So
I buy that. Okay, cool. So let's move on now to the slightly negative. The what we thought maybe that could have been adjusted, changed, or done differently. What do you got for that?
I'm going to go, you know where I'm going. I'm going to go with transportation one more time. And it's,
okay.
As much as I'm impressed with the bus transportation from the resort, from the awesome movies, I was completely upset with the monorail the one time. And it's only because we were on a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we didn't, because a week or so after that, that's when the monorail broke and they had to evacuate people from it with a fire truck.
Oh, wow.
But how long were we on that monorail?
It was about 35 minutes. We were going from the Polynesian to the Contemporary.
You know what I think bothered me the most was that we got on and they closed the doors and moved 30 feet and then stopped and then told us there would be a delay.
Right. Because, and actually, and it's a shame because if they would have told us or we would have
got off.
Right. And there's a lot of ways to get over. The deal was we wanted to get over the fireworks in the Contemporary. We wanted to go up to the top to watch them from up there. And it was one of the party nights. So it was going to be the extra tag on the fireworks. So, we kind of planned it out. That was our Trader Sam's night. And we were like, well, we got 35, 40 minutes. We have plenty of time. Got on the monorail. We didn't have plenty of time. So, again, that's a lesson, too, as far as give yourself a lot of extra time.
Yep, definitely.
Sometimes. And if worst case, you get to the place you're going, and you can kind of explore for a little while if you have to waste time. Yeah, I actually had that as one of my lost type of things for tonight also. One of the, I don't want to call it loser things or a lost thing, but something that happened for the annual pass holders. They had this offer at Epcot for the Food and Wine, and I don't want to take away from the Food and Wine at all because I kind of consider this a separate thing. But they had a glass that you can get, a small little wine glass that had the 20th anniversary Food and Wine logo on it. And the key to this is you had to go to the park three times and get one of the books stamped each of the times you're there. The third time, then you get your glass. Well, they had this in Interventions, and it was the Interventions on the Electric Umbrella side for the first couple weeks they were doing it, for the first week, I guess. And then the time we got down there, they switched over to the other side, and nobody knew about it. So eventually we found it, and then unfortunately the line was huge. If you go into the Interventions on the Soarin' side, there's almost nothing in there. There's a lot of black plastic walls, and you basically have just one aisleway that goes through the entire Interventions. I think that one had the arcade games in it, and it might have had that picture spot in there too, like the character spot.
Yeah, it did.
But there wasn't really much more than that. And then you got down to the line, and they were basically scanning your annual pass and then getting you on the line for either the first day, second day, or third day. And it just was out of control bad. So, again, it was for a small glass, and I probably could have blown it off. But you get that whole idea of, well, you're an annual pass holder. Let me take advantage of this. And you get kind of roped into it. You get that whole, I got to get it mentality. And I did. I fell for it. So if I had to pick a loss, I'd say that might have been it. So for me, not really that bad a trip.
No, overall, it was fantastic. Let me do one more plus because I wasn't.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I wasn't on the I got cut out last week. Trader Sam's, to me, huge plus.
Oh, I agree.
I think it is small. We had that conversation. I wish it was a little bigger. But, I mean, look, we waited about 10 minutes before we got a seat.
Right.
And then once we got a seat, though, man, it was so cool. It's so well-themed. The drinks are really good. The whole staff is into the whole theme. I mean, it's just over-the-top themed, and I really enjoyed it.
Now, there's no reason they couldn't have a couple more of those bars located on property.
Sure.
Something that's very, really, really heavily themed and gives you a little extra.
Yep, I agree.
Because everybody's, looking for something different, looking for something they're not going to find at home.
Yeah, I mean, you pay for it. The drinks there aren't cheap.
No.
But what? It's worth it.
But they're fun. It's, the one drink we had, what was it? Was it the volcano? Or Yeah, yes. And you basically had the cinnamon you were sprinkling on the fire to create sparks and things like that, and then you're drinking the drink. I mean, just the extras like that are very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And, of course, you can buy almost every glass the drinks come in. They have the extra price you can pay for that, which is a nice souvenir, which is awesome souvenir.
What, the skull one? The shrunken head skull?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely worth it. So. I mean, the drink was $10, and it was $20 if you wanted to keep the glass. So for $10 for that glass, I mean, it's something that'll... Now, some of them are way more than that, but that one wasn't too bad.
Right.
I think the submarine's right. Like $50 or something.
Yep. Now, and we mentioned this last week when talking about glasses and souvenirs and stuff like that. I still regret not getting the jug over at Pecos Bill's. They had that Country Bear whiskey jug or moonshine jug. Yeah. I might have to have John stop by and get me one.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd pick you one up. I'm sure he'd pick you one up.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. They're going over the top with these popcorn buckets, too. That's the new thing.
Sure. I've got a bunch at home. I'm actually looking at 4 right now on the bottom shelf of my in my office.
I didn't know that was a thing just so recently.
Seasonal, and so once they have the different designs. Oh, speaking of, I saw they have a new resort mug design.
They do, yeah, absolutely.
So, new souvenirs.
Yeah. We always buy those anyway.
Well, they come with the dining plan, don't they?
They come. If you get the dining plan, they come. It's included. But we don't always do the dining plan, but we always end up buying a mug anyway.
Right. Well, it's cool for a souvenir. It really depends how close you are to the cafeteria to see if it's worth the while. Because if that walk's huge, then you know what? You're probably going to be getting drinks to keep in the room.
Yeah. Kim likes to get her coffee in the morning. I'm not much of a coffee drinker, but she is. She likes to get coffee. And then she uses the mugs, too. When we get home, she's got her little Keurig, and she fills one of those cups up before she goes to work every morning. So she uses it.
Oh, yeah, sure. So do we. And actually, that brought up kind of another thought I could throw in there for a small loss, in that the hotel refrigerator could not get it cold enough to do anything as far as getting drinks cold. It took about 3 days to get a bottle of water cold. Not sure if they could do anything about that, really. Just have to replace them and stuff like that. So I tell you, that's some of the stories we've had from the parks, and I guarantee over the next couple shows, we're going to come back with flashbacks, and we'll still talk about this trip, I'm sure. Okay, guys, well, that's it for this week. There was only the two of us, and we're not going to go that long and bore you too much. Please tune in next week for show 109. We're hoping to have everybody back, and you know, we have a couple shows we've been promising you. There's going to be a cruise show coming up, talking all about the Disney Cruise Line, setting your trips up, how to plan them, some of the major things on the cruise itself. There's definitely a bathroom show on the horizon. We were talking about that when we were in Florida last time. And as nerdy as that sounds, there are some really cool bathrooms in Walt Disney World.
To me, there's good bathrooms to try and get to and some that are not so great. Some of them are located in places that there may be a line or it's harder to get in and out of or there's not enough sinks or there, you know, so...
I wouldn't even think of that. And there's usually like one right around the corner anyway.
Right, that nobody knows that's really there. So you walk in there, it's a little bit quieter and not as much going on. No screaming kids, stuff like that.
Okay, so not as much nerdy as much as planning then. Cool. I feel better that way then. okay, well, thanks for listening, guys. That's going to be it for show number 108. If you want to get in touch with us, Jimmy's going to tell you how.
Well, first of all, make sure to check us out on Facebook at the Disney Nerds Podcast. The Facebook group, Disney Nerds. You can follow us on Twitter at the Disney Nerds, Instagram at the Disney Nerds Podcast, and you can always email us, thedisneynerds@yahoo.com.
Okay, guys, well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, Harini. Kungloosh!